Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
This is the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio after we were gone for a tad bit because I was a little under the weather and probably still am. But we are here. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the blog did go up, even though, like I said, I'm not 100%, but, you know, sometimes you got to play this game hurt, so I managed to do that. But it is up. It is over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan. The Man with three E's.
So, all right. You know, Dan, you know, we always have these things where I run into, you know, the stupid guy in a certain sport. And, you know, over the weekend, my stupid guy was crazy because he was talking about getting out a year, and I found a new guy for today at least, and I am nominating the Toronto Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins. So, as you know, Dan, the Blue Jays have what is considered the best prospect in baseball, as in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Well, Atkins was quoted as saying that he is not ready for the majors and he needs time to develop in the minors. Last year, Dan Guerrero played 95 games through four spots in the Jays minor league system. To be fair, he played three games in rookie league, one in double A, 61 at double A, and 30 in triple A. Over those games, he hit 381 with 20 homers and 78 RBIs. Obviously, he has nothing left to prove in the minors, but Atkins has to toe the company line because Guerrero Jr. has to go down for 2 weeks or a month or whatever it is, so the Blue Jays can get that extra year of arbitration out of him. Now, he's not allowed to say that because then, you know, the players' union might actually be able to do something about it. So he went with not ready for the majors. Dan, this is easily the stupidest guy in baseball today, right? Or did you find somebody dumb?
No, I mean, why would you even come out and say anything?
Well, you know, the tough part is he's going to have to defend it when they send him down. We all know why they're sending him down. He just can't say it. So, yeah, you would think he would have just shut up. But I guess he felt the need to try to defend it or to give the writer something to do. I don't even know. But, yeah, so that's what they're going with, Dan. Vlad Jr.'s not ready for the majors at the start of the season. But as soon as that arbitration day goes back one more year, he'll be damn ready for the majors, won't he?
Yeah, but what I don't understand is if that's the agreed-upon thing between the union and the players, that which they agreed upon, why is it you can't say anything?
Well, remember that Chris Bryant and Mikhail Franco filed suit against Major League Baseball. I don't remember if or whatever became of it. Yeah, they filed. They were held down. You know, I know, like, for Brian, I'm looking here. It turned out to only be seven games in 2015 that he actually ended up playing in AAA. So it's not like he was gone a long time. So, yeah, that's basically why, you know, they're covering it up this way, because there is, you know, there could possibly be legal complications from it. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. I got to look at Franco and see how long the Phillies ended up keeping him down. Yeah, it looks like his was a little longer. It looks like 33 games the Phillies kept Franco down before they brought him up. So he ended up being down a little longer than Brian. So, but yeah, you can't figure, you know, Guerrero is going to be any more than, you know, whatever he needs for him to cross that threshold, and then he'll be up. And but yeah, I just thought it was humorous that he was not ready.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
No, I think we honestly would have been surprised if they would have went the other way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just kind of one of those odd things. But yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous that was his defense. So he wins the award easily today of being the stupidest person in at least baseball. I'm sure, you know, other forums out there somewhere, but he's winning that award today. So, and now, you know, we like I said, we've been gone for a few days, but we had a couple interesting signings. You know, not really so much the signings that everybody keeps thinking we're going to have, because, you know, Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell still don't have a team, but we had three guys pick up long-term extensions with their team. You know, the Yankees inked Aaron Hicks for seven more years. Nolan Arenado got eight out of the Rockies, and Miles Mikolas picked up, I believe it was four or five from the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, somebody brought up an interesting point on this, Dan, and I was wondering what your take was. They were thinking, you know, Arenado obviously was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. You know, I believe Arenado even mentioned this in a comment, something to the effect of, with the way the free agent market has played out the last few years, he didn't want to be sitting out there waiting. So he took, you know, basically security and obviously a lot of money. It's not like he sold himself short. So now, do you think it's possible we may see more guys do this instead of venturing into free agency with the stupidity that goes on with that now?
I mean, I don't think it was stupid that he did it, but, you know, I'm sure there's a lot that I think they should have all waited.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. You know, obviously, if you like where you're playing, you know, and you're getting good money, I mean, I think Arenado's he'll be the second highest player average-wise in baseball behind Zach Greinke. So, you know, he's going to make, I think it's $31 million a year or something close to that. You know, while Machado's bigger his deal in total, you know, Arenado gets more per year. You know, why not take the deal? I mean, would he have really gotten any more had he went out on the market?
I'm sure he would have gotten maybe a little bit more, but that deal would be signed right now, wouldn't it?
It would be what?
It would be signed late, maybe. You know, all the way till
right.
The end of March.
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder if, you know, he just didn't want to sit around that long. You know, because, like, I know I read some stuff last week, or it might have been Sunday before Mr. Fantasy and I came on, and somebody had flat out said that Bryce Harper was going to be signed by Monday. Well, it's now Wednesday, and we're no closer to Bryce Harper being signed. You know, I mean, he had another meeting with the Phillies. The Dodgers jumped in, and now it's reported that he's discussing a deal with the Giants. So, you know, he's, you know, and like even one of the articles here says, Blake Harper expected to make a decision this week. Is he really going to make a decision this week, Dan?
Well, I thought it was by yesterday. It was the last one.
Yeah, well, originally I read Monday. So, you know, but yeah, like the report here says that at the moment only three teams are in the mix: the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Giants. I don't know what happened to the Nationals, considering they had the original contract offer. Maybe they haven't moved off of that. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he would be quite a strange ad for the Dodgers. Of course, there has been a lot of talk about them moving Jock Peterson. So maybe if they signed Peterson, or maybe if they signed Harper, Peterson would go. You know, I know the White Sox have the interest. Maybe they would look into that deal again. But yeah, so that could be quite interesting. I mean, we've talked about the Phillies and Giants numerous times. So I don't know. But again, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, okay, this week. I don't know. I don't think so. It's Wednesday, a couple days. I mean, it's better off next month at this point, right?
Why not? Do you really need that much spring training?
Yeah, well, you know, it'll definitely be interesting to how he kind of reacts, isn't it? Because, I mean, hurt JD Martinez. He still went out and had a fantastic season, and, you know, he's so yeah, you know, again, I know we talked about it really affect a hit as much as it. So you would think a hitter can get in his groove a whole faster. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, at this point, I don't know how much longer are we waiting.
I mean, I'm sure he's got some nice facilities in Vegas that he's working at, right?
Yeah, no, you know, like I said, I'm sure with the, you know, with the hitters, it's a lot easier. You know, I mean, it's remember, they said the same thing about Nick Arrieta. Oh, well, you don't have to worry about him because he's got all these great facilities to work out at, and, you know, he'll be just fine. And you know, it took him quite a while to get his, you know, get himself in a groove. And, you know, I mean, as you pointed out, he didn't go very deep into games the entire year. So obviously he wasn't that ready. So, you know, so it's just kind of like, well, will it affect a hitter? I mean, obviously the longer we go, the bigger chance it is that it could be an effect, but you got to figure he's, you know, I mean, how much longer are you going to, you know, is he going to wait for an offer? You know, sooner or later, don't you just have to kind of negotiate something that's on the table?
Yeah, I would think so. I think he's, I mean, I would hope he's signed by the end of the week so we can get over with it already.
So, yeah, because, I mean, if he allegedly has all these offers, I know all the reports were the Dodgers offer was just short-term. But I heard somebody actually throw out that they thought it might be $40 million a year. And you got to wonder if it's even 2 or 3 years. Wouldn't that be the offer you'd be looking at? You know, because as young as he is, he could take that deal for a couple of years and turn around and go respect him on the market. Or you don't like that deal for him?
Oh, no, I agree with you. I would definitely take it with $120 million over 3 years.
Yeah, 2 years. I mean, you take $80 million, you give yourself a chance to win two World Series with the Dodgers, and then you're right back out on the market if that's something, you know, you want to do. And I always laugh when they kind of say, well, you know, they want security. Dan, if you made $80 million in 2 years, wouldn't you have security?
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, I would like to think at this point in Bryce Harper's life he's got security, just with the money he's made so far. yeah, I'm always kind of surprised when they, you know, they start talking about that, you know, well, we want to make sure he has, you know, financial security. And, well, you know, if he's been playing for a little while, he probably has that, unless he's been really bad with his money. You know, I guess we'll have to see. Now, you had have you wandered around and watched any training yet?
I was listening to the Cubs the other day. It's kind of boring, to be honest with you, because a lot of them don't have the the stadium sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I did I'll watch, you know, an inning or so just to see some of the starters bat. And then, you know, and a lot of times, I mean, they're not even facing a major league pitcher. You know, they're facing some guy who's going to be down an eight ball, so they'll just kind of be like, yeah, okay, you know, here we go. But, you know, it's nice to see the guys, you know, they're out playing, because this way, at least, you know, it means we're getting close to something.
Yeah, well, and that's why it just cracks me up when I saw the news this morning, and, you know, they were making such a big deal about Cubs and Sox wins at spring training.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that last night on WGN. They made a big stink out of the fact that I guess the Sox won both their split squad games yesterday. Just kind of like, guys, it's spring training. Who cares? But, you know, I guess they needed something to get excited about, or, you know, maybe they didn't want to talk about the Chicago mayoral race. They went with the next stop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about it, but making a big deal about the winning really doesn't do anything.
No, yeah, you know, I would have been fine if they'd have been talking about, you know, who's in competition with who for playing time, or, you know, if the prospect had done something, you know, because obviously it's the White Sox station. So I was just kind of like, you know, okay. But, yeah, it was just kind of like they kept talking about the winning, and I'm like, guys, it doesn't matter that they won, you know, that they won a couple spring training games. So, but yeah, I was like, okay, you know, here we go. Anyways, let's just, you know, let's get over it. But yeah, you know, like I said, I've been watching a little, you know, just a little here and there, just to kind of get a taste of it. But I did see, and I don't know, you know, I'm trying to remember. I know you've told me how you felt about this, but all the stuff we talk about, I forget. It looked like Major League Baseball was going to institute the pitch clock this year, but apparently they've now ditched the idea, and it doesn't look like it'll come back into consideration until 2022. No, I don't know. You disappointed, or you just didn't care?
No, I guess several of the veteran pitchers were upset with it, so they kind of stepped off of it.
Yeah, you know, I know they did make a deal with, I think it was the Atlantic League, to where they're going to start trying all their new ideas. And I didn't know this one. Maybe this is something you've heard of and I just missed it. But apparently there was a suggestion about moving the pitching mound back. Have you heard this one? And either way, what do you think?
Well, actually, yeah, I saw the article yesterday that Major League Baseball, for the first time in, you know, history or whatever, made a deal with the Independent League to institute rules or new rule changes and to get the feedback to see how it works. You know, like you said, they're going to move the pitching mound back, which I think is great because, you know, maybe I don't know if it'll slow it down or speed it up. You know, I don't know how that has on velocity or the spin rate, you know, all that crap. But then they're also going to institute the digital umpire for balls and strikes.
Yes, the robotic umpire.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, I don't call it a robot. I call it digital because there's obviously not going to be a robot out there. So.
Damn it. Not disappointed.
Yeah.
Robot back.
You can't call it a robot if it's not a, there's no robot.
I want it to be like Gen 9 back there. Yeah, you got to run through short skirt. Short skirt to know what I'm talking about there, but okay. You know, that's what I wanted to see.
Johnny 5.
Johnny 5, that's it. I don't know why I was thinking Johnny 9, but I thought it was Johnny 9 for some reason. But, yeah, you're right. It's Johnny 5. So.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice that they kind of got a tryout going on, but, you know, with all the offense that they have going on in baseball now, do we really need to move the mound back to inhibit pitchers even more? Do we need more offense?
I don't know if it really creates more offense, but, you know, maybe they'll – I don't really know what it'll do. I really can't think of what it would do. I thought, aside from moving it back, they were talking about lowering the pitching mound.
Yeah, they talked about raising it and lowering it and all that stuff. I heard one guy say today that part of the reason is they want to cut down on strikeouts and – get more balls in play, but, you know, you and I have been over this a million times. You want to cut down on strikeouts, teach guys how to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, well, we're cutting down on strikeouts. Here's how you cut down on strikeouts. You know, teach guys how to be good two-strike hitters and hit the other way, and, you know, you don't always have to be swinging for the home run, but, you know, again, that's today's game, so. But, yeah, I just kind of thought that was, you know, thought that was quite humorous when I heard that, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear how far back they would be interested in moving the mound back, but, it would really throw off the asymmetry of the diamond, wouldn't it? How weird would it look if, say, the mound was at 70 feet?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think you can go farther than 70 feet.
Yeah. I just, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, the field would kind of look weird if the, you know, the pitching mound was 10 feet further back than where it was. It would be like, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. Did they have any other, ideas that you had seen that you were – possibly interested in that they might be trying?
No, that was pretty much all that was in the article that I read. I don't know if the full details came out of what they're planning, but I do like the digital umpire or robotic umpire.
So, yeah, you know, I think that would be, you know, really interesting because, you know, obviously you couldn't argue. So, you know, I mean, it would have a set strike zone, and that would be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've seen a couple of years ago when we were down in South Bend, the technology that they have and how the pitches were tracked. I mean, you know, maybe I couldn't make a believer out of you, you know, prior to that, but you haven't gone down there and seen it. I mean, can you really make an argument against it?
No, well, you know, like, I didn't even have that big of a problem with it before. You know, I mean, you know, like, I kind of fit in the category as long as they get the damn calls right. You know, that's all I care about. And, you know, like, kind of still my bitch with instant replay is we have this and we still can't get calls right. And that's in every sport, not just baseball. But, yeah, it was impressive watching that guy's computer work. Because, you know, I was sitting right behind him. You actually kind of got up and wandered around and checked out the ballpark and bought us hats. And I think you even brought food back at one point in time. But, yeah, I sat there and, you know, ended up watching his computer as much as I watched the game. You know, especially on every pitch that was taken, I was looking at his computer screen. Yeah, it's really impressive. So, yeah, it would be obviously really simple to do. You know, they would just have to make sure they had a quick enough turnaround you know, to where it, you know, the call was made right away and we weren't on some kind of delay in between pitches.
Yeah, but I think for the most part, players even know what they, you know, when they take a pitch where it was or what it was.
Yeah. You know, I guess the only issue there is, you know, could they prevent hackers from the team from, you know, breaking into the system and getting everything for their team? So,
yeah, watch out for the Cardinals.
Right. Yeah, you know, of all the teams, they would be the first one you'd have to look out for.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be the tough part, but. Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I'm sure we're not that far away from, you know, from all, you know, a lot of that stuff coming in. You know, especially if they can find a way for it to speed up the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't slow it down that much, but I think it's time that they just get with it. You know, because I mean.
You know, they always seem to embrace technology more than baseball, you know, look at it. So, we'll see. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be too much longer before we start seeing some of that stuff come in the game, do you?
No, I only wonder if that's just a rule that baseball can institute, because I'm sure the players would love to have that.
Yeah, you know, I never really, you know, I have heard some players, you know, actually say they can't wait, and you know, they've been saying robot umpires, but you know, what they mean, what you're talking about, you know, they've been players who say, you know, been saying they look forward to it.
Hmm. Well, do you think that takes away some of the pressure of the catcher? Thank you.
Well, you know, it would definitely take away.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I was implying. You know, he no longer has to worry about where his glove is. He just gets to catch the ball now, and
right.
You know, maybe have a little bit better of an eye on the game as a whole. Be able to watch the runners on base. And...
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't have to listen to the depth about, you know. You know, well, this guy's a good pitch framer. No, you know, set up. You know, I mean, you know, it would be one less, you know, one less headache on that poster.
Yeah, well, and you know, not only that, do you think that would help kind of raise the value for a catcher, for a guy, you know, today who, you know, I think Wilson Contreras is considered not so great of a pitch framer.
Yeah, I definitely think it would help, you know, those kind of guys. It would bring back more offensive catchers, you know, because for whatever reason, even though you and I both know and we've heard, you know, players think there's really no such thing as pitch framing, it's become a big topic. So, you know, teams are buying into it. So, you know, something like this would get rid of, you know, we wouldn't have to see the 200 hitting catcher if he's a good pitch trainer. So,
well, and then the catcher can argue with the umpire for other stuff and not have to worry about any repercussions.
Well, except for the umpire to argue with.
I do wonder how that would change the dynamic of having umpires, though. You know, would you necessarily need one behind the plate anymore?
Only to make calls at the plate, and you know, you got to figure they could, you know, the guys could just rotate into position.
Yeah.
You know, you would only really need, you know, base umpires, and then, you know, because normally when there's a play at home plate, there's not a play at first base. So that guy could easily come down the line and make a call at home plate.
Well, you know, you can't take umpires out of a job, so you got to remember that one. There's the
right.
Union.
Well, Well, that, yeah, that would be the difficult part, you know, dealing with the umpires union, you know, on how you would basically get that through, because you would in essence, you'd be eliminating a job.
Well, I mean, I think I have the perfect solution, and maybe they can come to terms with this and finally enact it, because I think it's high time that they move forward and have every team have an instant replay coach or umpire in the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, you wonder why they actually haven't gotten to that yet. You would think, you know, but now, you know, I'm sure they have their reasoning or whatever they're doing there, but.
Well, you know, they've got to do their 6-year study first on how it would be effective. Oh, geez, you need a study to figure out how having one guy, an umpire, watching the entire game in a room by himself, you know, so that, you know, because that's one of the things, you know, you and I have talked about it, and I'm glad Manfred kind of stopped his pace of play crusade, and we've heard less and less about it over the last year. And then through this offseason, you know, maybe that was the big distraction with Manny and Bryce, is we didn't have to hear about pace of play and how we're going to make the game faster by eliminating 4-pitch walks, you know, intentional walks. you know what I mean? Like, the stupidest thing, like, you're going to eliminate it, just eliminate it. Don't tell me that it's going to speed up the game. But, you know, I just don't understand how the instant replay is supposed to improve the game, but all it has done is delayed the game. I mean, there are there's definitely calls when, you know, we'll see the instant replay and, man, you know, there's some that are hard. And there's some that I just don't understand. Like you said, that the instant replay is there and they still get it wrong. You know, oh, the foot's on the bag, but the ball's in the glove at the same time. Well, the age-old rule is what? The tie goes to the runner. And it seems like depending on the situation or depending on the umpire, it's overturned.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely been
Or it's not overturned. You know what I mean? He's not safe. He's out. And, sometimes it's a safe face for the umpire, so he has less calls against him overturned. You know, where's the sabermetrics on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I've looked at a play and been like, oh, he's clearly out, or oh, he's clearly safe, and and I'm wrong and can't figure out why, because, you know, obviously it's never explained to you what they saw to make the call. You know, you're just looking at the same thing they're looking at, and it's kind of like, wait, what did he see? Can you tell me what he saw that I missed? Because I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, they have secret cameras that we don't even know about in magical Connecticut or New York that we're just supposed to trust. You know, I mean, so it's – and I guess I kind of went off, but there's been times where, you know, and you've seen this a million times too, there's been an instant replay. The guy clearly caught the ball, or the ball was, you know, clearly dropped, yet we've just gone through almost 5 minutes. You know, two umpires standing around with a guy with headphones, just standing around. And, you know, we've got Joe Buck telling us that it's, you know, clearly we have to listen to him for 5 minutes ramble on about himself and the Cardinals, only for them to finally tell us that, the call is correct. And it's like, well, Fox Sports had the replay 7,000 times in 5 minutes, and we all clearly saw it was correct. Like, why the hell does it take that long? And I mean, if you're going to go long, why don't you go to a commercial?
Yeah, that's always been the biggest complaint, you know, with it. It just takes forever. You know, it's like, okay, why, you know, we saw this, they showed it, you know, like you said, God only knows how many times. You know, we knew what was going on, and yet we've waited 5 minutes for you to make the call.
Yeah, and, you know, like we said, I don't understand why they haven't already made the move to have an instant replay booth, especially if it's designed for the umpires, And seeing that it is the modern age of baseball, and it's, you know, it's actually amazing if you read into the history of the baseball parks, how many baseball parks had video boards dating back to well before you were born, obviously after Schaumburg's too.
Yes.
You know, so all 30, do we have 32 teams or is 30? 32?
Yeah,
32 teams all have a video board, including the Cubs now. I believe they were the last ones to get one. So why is there not a replay booth with an umpire in there wearing a different outfit, you know, to differentiate himself from the on-field guys? And immediately camera pops up and he, you know, either calls him out and there's words, or we get the NHL style where his mic gets kicked on and it's, you know, broadcasted over the air, obviously, for the viewers at home, and over the PA system for, you know, the fans in the stadium. Is that so difficult? I mean, do we really need a study for 5 years and, you know, panels of former players who, you know, are on the verge of extinction to figure this out?
Yeah, sadly, I guess so.
I figured extinction was better than deathbed, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably better. So, you know.
So, I don't know. That's just, I mean, there's always going to be something you could find to pick at on your favorite sport or whatever, but that's just the one thing. I'm like, this is supposed to make the game better, and it actually hinders the game. It kind of makes, you know, it's not that. It, like you said, Major League Baseball has always been like the one who's been on the up and ups with technology. They're never afraid to, you know, go after it and implement it. But here's one of the things that is technologically backwards, and it kind of makes you, you know, for lack of a better reference, makes Major League Baseball look like the league that's still carrying the flip phone.
Yeah.
Technically the NBA too, because the NBA referees have a little 32-inch flat-screen TV propped up and turned around on the announcer's booth for them to look at. But, I mean, they don't even have the flip phone. They've got the old, you know, Nokia where you can play Snake.
Yeah, well, I think they're the only ones who have to do it right, you know, on the side. I mean, like in the NFL, they do it on the sidelines, but they're going to somebody else. You know,
yeah.
with the NBA, those guys looking at it right there and making the decision. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't tell me it doesn't look ridiculous. We've got all billions of dollars, you know. ESPN is pouring money into our company, just printing it for us. And here, you know, we've got a little 32-inch smart TV that gives us three plays so we can make a decision. Like, come on, guys.
I mean, I would like to hope that at least it's, you know, high res and, you know, they're getting the best picture quality they can get, you know, out of those little things. But, yeah, you know, I was just kind of like,
oh. All right. Well, I'll be back. You can continue on this, move on if you like.
Well, okay. I'll go find something else to talk about while Dan takes his couple minute leave of absence here from the podcast. And yeah, I was, you know, obviously we're, you know, slowly but surely we're winding down to the end of the NBA season. You know, each team has right around 60 games in. So, you know, we're, you know, right, you know, about 20 to go. We're right at that kind of landmark. And, you know, looking at the Western Conference standings, you'll see that the Lakers, who, of course, now have LeBron James, are not in the playoffs. They are actually three games out of the eighth spot. You know, they've lost their last couple games. They do play tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. So, you know, that's a game they should win. They are saying that Anthony Davis is going to play. He's going to play about 20 to 25 minutes. So, and, you know, the Lakers are at home. So now this definitely is a game that they should win. And, you know, you'd like to think maybe they'll pick up some ground there. And while they do stay at home, Friday they face Milwaukee. Not as easy as a task, because I believe Milwaukee, I want to double check the record, but I believe they are the number one, the top team in the East right now. So, yes, they are. Milwaukee is the currently on top of the East by two games over Toronto. You know, it was kind of humorous today because I'm not a big fan of Mike Greenberg, and I'm probably taking way too much enjoyment in the fact that his show that they gave him on the Mickey Mouse Network, Get Up, is tanking and nobody watches it because he bailed on Mike Golic when they had a really successful radio gig going on because basically he wanted to be a star. But it was funny today because he started off on a topic about how if he owned the Lakers or coached the Lakers or had any influence with the Lakers, he would sit LeBron James through the rest of the season because it's a wasted season. And then in his next topic, he went on to said how tanking was bad for sports. Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe somebody who is smarter than I am out there could explain it to me, but it seemed like it was pretty contradictory. But, you know, like I said, you know, back to the Lakers here, you know, they've lost their last two. They've actually lost four out of their last five and six out of their last nine. They do have some winnable games on the schedule here coming up. You know, they should beat New Orleans tonight. They are at home against Milwaukee, so maybe that'll work out. You know, sometimes those teams get on those West Coast trips and they struggle. And then they go to Phoenix, who is very beatable. You know, the Clippers, well, you know, they'll probably be up to play the Lakers, so that could be here or there. But then they run into a couple tough ones. They'll have the Nuggets and the Celtics. So, you know, they're going to have to beat these teams like New Orleans and Phoenix and find a way to beat the Clippers. You know, and then they're coming to Chicago, you know, another team that they're going to have to beat here. So, it's kind of boiling down to the point where it's very must win time for the Lakers. And I'm wondering how it's going to shake out. And I guess almost how many more fingers LeBron can point if this doesn't go his way. You know, because I think he's blamed just about everybody, and we know as soon as the season is over, you know, Luke Walton is out of a job. You know, somebody will be, you know, somebody else will coach in the Lakers next year. But, yeah, they have to send back the Timberwolves, and they're going to have to catch the Sacramento Kings, who are much improved this year, and then it's the San Antonio Spurs who have that eight spot. So I don't know. You know, wow. If they're going to get there, how they're going to get there, but we'll, you know, we may have NBA playoffs without LeBron James, but I don't believe it.
The Spurs have really fallen off their perch, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's not really the same team, and obviously there's a lot of turnover, you know, in the NBA and that stuff, but. Yeah, it has not been a good year for them. I mean, let's face it, you know, it's just basically the eighth team is just somebody, you know, they're fodder for the Warriors in the first round, you know, no matter who it is. I mean, if it's the Lakers, they may, the refs may give them a game or two, but, you know, they're not going to extend that same courtesy to the Spurs or, you know, somebody like that.
Well, if it's the Lakers, Steph Curry fouls out for a couple games. Draymond Green gets suspended, you know.
So, yeah, it's definitely going to be, you know, something fishy, you know, in those situations. But,
now, what's
you know,
the
we'll
other
see,
Mike's
right
name?
Now, we just want to see if the Lakers can get there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a wasted season, as according to what you said about, you know, Mike said, from former Mike and Mike in the Morning. So I was just kind of catching the tail end of it, but so he contradicts himself, obviously. But, you know, is his show still doing well? Is he on radio or is he on TV? How does his show work?
It's a TV show now, and nobody watches it. So,
even though he's got like a pretty co-host or whatever.
Yeah, well, they put Michelle Beadle and Jalen Rose with him.
Oh.
So, you know, he actually has a, and it was kind of humorous because, you know, part of the reason he wanted to get away from Golic was because Golic ended up being the star. You know, nobody cared about Greenberg. It was Mike Golic they all wanted to be a part of. So instead they put him with the pretty NBA girl and a former player so nobody's still going to care about him.
Well, and is it an all NBA show then?
No. He wanted to talk about everything, including stuff that wasn't sports related.
Oh. Like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I've never watched more than a season or two of the show. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how you're going to talk all sports, including other stuff, but then you're going to have basketball-heavy other broadcasters, which I know they can cross over, but at the same time, you know, that was one of the things I liked about Mike and Mike when listening to them was, you know, when football season came in, they always brought CeCe in. You know, he wasn't there for, you know, the 8 minutes of baseball talk they did. Granted, I think feel like CeCe could have been there all year because all he did talk about was football until the NBA came, but you know, I mean, it would make sense to have, you know, guys coming kind of rotating instead of having a set cast of two basketball people, because that would, to me, that just says, oh, we're just going to talk about basketball every day of the year. It's not a horrible thing.
Yeah, well,
it's an NBA TV show.
Yeah, well, you know, the tough part there is, you know, at the Mickey Mouse Network, the NBA is their life because that's who they got the big contract with. So, you know, that's kind of got to be their focus, you know, because that's where all their money is. And, I mean, if you look, I mean, all they really have left are NBA people. You know, they've gotten rid of just about all the baseball people. They cut down on the football people. So, you know, I mean, the main thing left now is you have basketball.
Now, and that's kind of an interesting topic that you said, you know, they've pretty much gotten rid of all the baseball people and they've turned themselves into the NBA TV too. Now, I had to get your feeling on this and, you know, from your perspective, more as a fan as opposed to, you know, someone who blogs and broadcasts, are you... Now, I mean, obviously, I know you don't do this, but if we didn't do this and you're still, you know, kind of more of a super fan, would you still be willing to go on a subscription base? And I'm not talking your, you know, like us locally, you know, even an internet stream subscription of Tribune, or I don't even know if the Sun-Times still exists here. I don't know, to be honest with you. I know that sounds crazy, but I know, like, the Tribune Corporation technically owns, like, every newspaper in the country. So I don't know if they completely eliminated the Chicago Sun-Times or not. I guess that's neither here nor there. You know, kind of taking the newspaper off the market and knowing that you're more of a sports fan, would you be in the market to pay for a subscription base like The Athletic?
You know, well, first I can tell you they actually do still print the Sun-Times. Schomburg Stu goes out and buys one every morning. So I can answer that question for you. You know, I don't think I would. You know, I mean, there's so many other ways now to get sports news for free that I just don't know at this point in time if I would pay for any, you know, any real, like, you know, unless it involved games, I wouldn't pay for any real service to, you know, to watch.
You mean, no, this is not even to watch. I don't know if the Athletic does video.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly reading, but you're saying that you're not so much in love with the writing of, I don't know who's on there, Buster Only, maybe? I don't know. So much so that, you know, you don't want to read about his article that pretty much his take on an article that was written by a reporter for, say, the MLB. Now, there's a little bit of sarcasm in there, but I was wondering because there was someone over the weekend, it was CBS Radio, and it wasn't our local stuff. It was, you know, when they get rid of the local on the weekend and they produce the national, and someone from The Athletic wrote something that he felt like it was worth reading. But, you know, with the video and the day of age and the apps and all that, I mean, I don't know how they're doing it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I pulled up their website. You can actually get a 7-day free trial if you're interested. And, you know, they have, some big name guys, like, you know, their MLB guys are Ken Rosenthal and Jason Stark. So, you know, it's two guys with a lot of credibility. You know, the NBA, now I don't know this first guy. It's Shams Charani, but David Aldridge is, you know, a respected NBA guy. They have Jay Glazer and Michael Lombardi doing the NFL. Pierre LeBrun and Katie Strange handle the NHL. And then they have a couple college football people and a couple college basketball people. Seth Davis and Dana O'Neill do college basketball. If you follow college basketball, you'll know those two names. So, yeah, they have some names, but, you know, like I see Rosenthal on the MLB Network pretty much every morning whatever morning show they have. Yeah, and he's talking about what he's writing. So I would kind of, you know, I kind of get it for my cable subscription.
You know, because, I mean, I know ESPN has a subscription, and you could, whatever that thing is that you could pay for, and you get, I don't know, do you get everything and then including all their streaming channels?
You know, they have two different ones now because, you know, they have what they call the Insider, which gives you access to more articles, you know, that they have. And then, of course, you know, we've talked about the app, because neither you or I were going to buy it. So now, you know, they have the app where you get the extra, you know, I don't know what is are they showing. Is it NHL tonight? But, you know, like the UFC is really, you know, been prevalent on there. They're, you know, they're showing a lot of UFC fights on there. So, yeah, you know, they kind of have both options, you know, depending on if you want to read or if you want to watch.
Yeah.
But, I just couldn't see. You know, my problem was is I would pay for something like that, and then I would forget I have it and never go read the damn things.
Yeah, I guess you kind of hit the nail on the head, though, and answered my question on how the hell do these guys survive. Obviously, Rosenthal does because he's on MLB. He's, you know, the go-to guy. I don't know if he works with Sunday Night Baseball or, you know, any of the ESPN networks or, you know.
He's on Fox.
Oh, it's Fox. Yeah, you're right. With the bow tie. So, I mean, I guess, but I just couldn't see myself paying. You know, there was this other guy I follow on Facebook. I don't remember. His name's like Joe something. And, you know, he kind of gives it to you, but at the same time, he'll post part of his article and he does the, if you want to read the rest of it, you can pay for it. Well, no, I read enough. Unless I was into gambling, I think maybe some of the insight might make a difference, but I think you either have it or you don't when it comes to gambling, and I don't have it, so.
No, yeah, I definitely don't either. I mean, I can't even win at FanDuel, so, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
I gave up on FanDuel till baseball starts.
Yeah, well, you know, I still go and look and see if they have free stuff going on because I'll play the, you know, I'll play the free games when it comes to basketball and hockey. But yeah, it's I don't pay very often. I think I I did play a 50-cent hockey game about maybe a month back and won 70 cents because I really liked my lineup. But, yeah, I you know, I'm pretty much done until baseball.
And all those lineups we'll get for Mr. Fantasy will probably improve our game, too.
Hopefully.
Rim shot.
You know, that would be, yeah, where, can I get there in time? Where is it? Paying for it just doesn't seem, you know, then it's kind of like, okay, well, what do I do? Do I have to sit at my computer, you know, sit with my tablet or my computer or my phone or whatever else and just have to, you know, scroll through articles?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you could read the entire article and pay for it, or you could just follow Ken Rosenthal on Twitter, and they'll pretty much tell you, Bryce Harper signed for this much, you know, and, oh, okay, so I don't have to read, you know, 2,000 words that you read. Not that I'm against reading, but... It had the same effect as it did 20 years ago, even.
And especially the tough part now is, you know, and I get this writing the blog. I mean, you know, a couple times a week I got to figure out what the heck I'm going to write about, because it's not like you can write or break anything new when you're doing that, because the minute something comes out, it's on Twitter, and then, you know, it's breaking news on every sports network. It's on the crawler of every sports network.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, am I just paying for your take on this? And I would have to really, really like you to pay for your take on this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, and it goes back to when the internet really started to take over, which killed me that, you know, pre-2000, we were still a newspaper in it. And even into the early 2000s, you know, I was a big subscriber, and I don't know if the USA Today still does it. I paid for it for years. It was a baseball, football-only newspaper. I don't remember how much it cost. I have no clue because I didn't really care. But it would come in the mail. I think I would let my dad read it first because, you know, he didn't read it like I did. I literally read every single page when it came to baseball season. He was more the football guy, where football season I just kind of skimmed it, gave it back to him, and he kept them and, you know, threw them out later or whatever. But, you know, and it was one year I don't know what happened, and a friend of mine just was like, dude, what the hell are you doing with that? You know, you heard of this thing called the internet, right? It's on our phone, and you don't need the newspaper anymore. You can read the stats, you know, the day after the game's over with. You don't have to wait till Sunday or whenever you get it in the mail. So... Sorry, USA.
That was my downfall as well, you know, was the fact that I waited for the morning paper for years, you know, when we had the internet, not really. Well, hell, I could just go online and see what happened.
Radio.